In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 13 through 16, from the New King James Version of the Bible, you'll find these words. The Bible says, therefore, gird up. Somebody say, gird up.
Gird up.
Gird up the loins of your mind. I told you last week, I mean, prepare your mind for battle. So many Christians are in warfare, but their mind is not prepared for what's coming. Their mind is not prepared for what they're going through. Their mind is not prepared for what the enemy is going to throw at you. So he says, you got to gird up the loins of your mind. And when you're in warfare, you got to be sober. Amen. You got to be serious about what you're doing, and your mind got to have sound judgment. So it says, be sober and rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ when he comes back. As obedient children, somebody say obedient children.
Obedient.
Say it like you're one of them. Obedient children. Because if there's obedient children out there, there's some disobedient children. But because you're obedient children, then now you're not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. When we didn't know better, we did some stuff that just don't make sense now. But now that we know better, we ought to
do better.
Because he says, but as he who called you is holy. Somebody say holy.
Holy.
Say it like you ain't scared. So as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in
all.
Can I hear what I say?
All.
All your conduct.
Yeah.
When you're at work, when you're dealing with your children, when you're dealing with your husband, your wife, in all your conduct, you're supposed to be
holy.
Why? Because it is written, be holy, for I am. Y'all may be seated. This is going to be our second sermon in the series that we've entitled, Be Holy. That's intentional holiness. I said, most of us have heard the expression, holier than thou, or holy roller, or some other expression used in a negative way to describe Christians who are sincerely trying to live for God in all areas of their lives. See, the world, as well as some carnal-minded. Somebody say carnal-minded. Carnal-minded. You know, in the church, there are some carnal-minded Christians. They know Jesus, say they love Jesus, but they think fleshly-minded. They think more like the world than they do like than God. So he says, the world, as well as some carnal-minded Christians, have made holy and holiness quite unpopular in the times we live in. See, many in the church today are confused and rebelling against God's command to be holy, for I am. Say it like you mean it.
Holy.
Don't be afraid of that word, because y'all going to hear it quite a bit today now. I ain't going to be here, but this is the last one Sunday, because I know you can't handle the holy message too long. It just don't sit well with us. When we start talking holy, Christians start trembling when we should be celebrating. See, the sad truth is that we live in a spiritually compromised world. A world, like Jesus explained when he was talking to his disciples about an enemy, when he said an enemy has come in and sown tare amongst the wheat. But the sad thing is that the wheat and the tare must grow together until the harvest. So as we navigate our way through this evil world, and this corrupt system that we live in, we must always remember that although we are in the world, we are not of the world. See, we belong to God, and our worldview must be shaped by the word of God. Therefore, we must daily strive to live under the authority of a holy God who commanded us to be holy because he is. Holiness is what distinguishes the wheat from the tare. I also said that the word holy, or some variation of it, is found in the Bible over 600 times. You see the word holy in the Bible more than you see the word love. So now holy is defined, or holiness is defined as means to dedicate or consecrate yourself to God. To be set apart. Somebody say set apart. to be set apart and devoted to God for his service. So when God called us to be holy, he wants us to set ourselves apart from something and some things and some people. Amen. That's the pattern that you see in the Bible. When he talked about holy, he wants us to be special unto himself. He wants us to live in this world, but he wants us to live in a way that the world can see holy. Because we represent him in the earth. Now, last week, we saw where God first commanded Israel to be holy, and we closed with looking at the Apostle Paul's urging of several churches to pursue a lifestyle of holiness. Now, today, we're going to look at some practical ways as Christians that we can display or practice personal holiness. Is this all right? Go to the book of Exodus real quick. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. From the instruction God gave to Israel, we can learn that it's important for us to set apart a day. Somebody say a day.
Day.
A day for honoring the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
It's important for us to set aside a
day.
Most Christians have set aside Sunday as that day, but I don't care if it's Tuesday for you. You need to give God one day. For we set aside all the cares and concerns of this world, and we set aside a day to worship him for spiritual renewal and rest.
Yeah.
The seventh day was designed for
rest.
He worked six, but on the seventh day he
rest.
And so he requires us to set aside some time to rest and devote that time to him. You're not supposed to do everything you do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday on Sunday. There was a time in this country where we respected Sunday. Every store wasn't open on Sunday. You better get your business taken care of on Saturday, because on Sunday we shut down the joint. But nowadays, Sunday is just another commercial. We need to learn from the Jews. They respect Saturday. They're going to shut it down on Saturday. And I'm not trying to tell you to don't do anything on Sunday. I'm just saying Sunday got to be sacred and special to you. As a Christian, if you have set this day aside, then you need to respect it and see it as. Okay, let me just read what the Bible says. In Exodus 20, verse 8 says, remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it. Keep it set apart. Treat it like it's a special day, not like every other day. And I know people have to work on Sunday. I ain't got no problem with that. I don't think God got no problem with that. But you ain't got to do a lot of other things we do on Sunday if we take care of our business on Saturday. I know it. I know. See, that's what holiness means. You're going to be different. So you got to start telling some people, girl, we ain't going to no sale today. I don't care what they got on sale. I should have got it yesterday. But brother, we ain't going to do this today. We should have did that yesterday. We done set this day apart for God.
Amen.
I know that argument ain't going to win today. I know it. We are conditioned now to do other things on the Lord's day. Then, can I just compromise with y'all a little bit? And just say, give him your best hour and a half now then? Since you're going to transition and do something else as soon as I say amen, can you just give him your best attention now? Can you give him your best praise now? Can you just, because he ain't going to keep you. He know he working with a limited time window here. Pastor, you better be through, because by, 11:30, I got other things to do at 11:31. I know it, I'm messing with you now, boy, because of, but look here, that's what holiness does. It separates you from some other folk. Now, I know it's football season, so I'm not telling you don't watch the game.
Right.
Amen. But don't break your neck to get home to see no football game after you done left worship. Think about God on your way home to watch the game. Honor him. Still meditate on his word while you're on your way home to watch the game. That's what holiness is all about. Being distinctively different. Joshua chapter 1 and 8. Here we can see that we should daily spend time with God. And if we want to practice holiness, we got to strive to set aside each day for prayer, for reading of God's word, meditating on God's word. And even in Psalms 1, Paul encourages us, or the writer of Psalms, encourages us to delight ourselves in the Lord and his word and meditate on that word day and you know, in most religions, a lot of religions, meditation is a very important part of their religion. They believe you need to sit down sometime and clear your mind and think on things that's going to calm you down. Amen. Get you settled. And we Christians don't like to spend no time listening and meditating on God. Amen. And his word. Holiness say you got to. To live holy, you got to. Look at what it said in Joshua 1 and 8. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. In other words, you got to keep it near you. And you shall meditate in it, what? Huh?
Amen.
Say it like you ain't scared.
Amen.
You shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe. See, when you think about it long enough, you may start doing some of the things you've been meditating. No, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good. Meditation can keep you from having bad success. Amen. Thinking about God's word and trying to live in accordance with God's word. Because there are people out there in the world who's having bad success. They're doing some things that's evil, but they're good at it. And so we meditate on this word and we get it in our heart and we think about it day and night. And as we ponder it and we think on it, then it'll get in our spirit and then we will try to live what we've been thinking. Amen. People live out their thoughts all the time. Amen. That young man who made that shot the other day, he had to think that before he did it. The book of Daniel. I'm going to be quick today, I hope. But it is the Lord's day. So I got a little bit of liberty at least to 12 o'clock. Is that all right? I'm just joking. The book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1. Now Daniel and his friends were in training to be part of the king's court. And some of the requirements of the king went contrary to what God required. And from Daniel's example, we learn that to practice personal holiness, you must refuse to compromise godly morals and stand firm on biblical truth, even under pressure or when you're being tempted.
Amen.
Amen. We must actively choose to follow God's instruction, even when it's inconvenient or unpopular. And that's a choice you have to make, and that's intentional. That don't just happen. When the king put out a decree during that time, you have to be a bold person to stand up and say, hey, we ain't going to eat that diet. Because it goes against what we have been taught and what we are told how we're supposed to eat. Now, I'm not trying to put no dietary law on you. Y'all keep eating what you eat. But holiness say you ought to bless it before you
eat.
Just in case. Give thanks for it before you.
Amen.
Look at this in verse 8. But Daniel was determined. In other words, his mind was firmly fixed that he was not going to defile himself. Look at this. Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and the wine given to them by the king. And that was almost like a death sentence right there. But when you're standing for God, man, sometimes it may cost you. But God will look out for you too sometime. Because here we're going to see that God looked out for Daniel, even though Daniel stood up against a king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. Now, I'm not finna get into y'all dietary habits. So let's get past that. You know, I know we some ain't going to give up no ribs. Okay, what God say, ain't we ribs, you know. Some ain't gonna, you ain't going to give up your T-bones and your, you know, poor the houses. Yeah, they ain't going nowhere. I know that. I ain't trying to take that from you. But I'm trying to tell you that everything that the world got you doing is not acceptable to God. You got to make up in your mind what is acceptable to God. And when everybody is doing it, does not make it right. So it's right if God says right. So therefore, when we make a stand, we go contrary to something because the things that people trying to get you to do go contrary to the word of God. I am talking about holiness today, okay? So holiness raised the bar. The standards are high when you start talking about, because it takes holiness to get in the presence of a holy
God.
So he says now, he asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these things, these unacceptable food. See, we want to focus on the food right there, but can I broaden that scope just a little bit? Everything that you watch is not acceptable to God. Sometimes your spirit got to tell you these eyes are not supposed to gaze on that. Everything you listen to is not acceptable to God. If you listen to stuff that's going to put some foul stuff in your spirit, then you need to regulate what you are listening to if you want to try to practice personal holiness. Now, I'm not telling you can't listen to music, but look here, all music is not good music. Just because it got a nice beat to it, a nice rhythm to it, and all that, and your feet love it, your brain got to say, feet, don't move. Ah, y'all didn't want to hear that, did you? I'm not going to ask you to bring me your playlist. The Holy Spirit already know what you're listening to. And I just want to challenge you to say, if you evaluate what you listen to and you feel based upon your spirit that it's unacceptable to God, then you need to stop. Look at verse 9. It says, now God had given the chief of staff both respect and fondness or affection for Daniel. In other words, even though Daniel's life was going to be put at risk and this chief of staff life could be put at risk for defying the king, because of his admiration for Daniel and his fondness for Daniel and his friends, guess what? He decided, I'm going to take a chance and do what you say. And I'm going to let you eat nothing but, you know, vegetables and drink water for so many days and see what you're looking like. God blessed them. Daniel and them looked better than everybody else after they ate or died that God put them on. And so what I'm trying to tell you is that sometime when you make a stand for what's right and holiness, there's some people will admire you for your stand. It's when you wishy-washy. You're holy one day and you're unholy the next. You're speaking with sweet words in 1 minute and you're cursing somebody out in the next. Philippians chapter 4. To strive to be holy, we need to guard our mind from sinful and impure thoughts, focusing instead on things that are true and noble and just and right and lovely and admirable. I'm going to make that plain here in a minute. Now, Paul had just appealed to two women in the church to settle their disagreement. You know, because they belong to the Lord. Church folks ain't supposed to be fighting with each other, not speaking to each other, being mean to one another. Because when you act like that in the church, that mess up holy. You can't be holy and you ain't speaking to your brother or your sister. So he had to tell these two ladies, y'all need to get together. Y'all belong to the Lord now. Y'all just can't act any kind of way. I know she done said and got on your nerve, but you can't not speak to her forever. That's your sister. I know the brother, you know, said some things that you thought hurt your feeling, but after a while, you got to forgive the brother and move on. That's your brother. And so if you don't, then you're going to allow your feelings to cause you to act like the world in that situation instead of acting like a child of God. So he was trying to get these two ladies, settle your disagreements, because the church functions better when the folk getting along. Your family functions better when everybody in the house is getting along. Your extended family functions better when they come for the family reunion, when everybody is getting a disagreement, mess up holiness. Amen. And so when you don't settle things, disagreement will get down in your heart, and then your heart will start getting bitter, and anger will. Let me show you this. Now look at this. He says in verse 8, we got to understand, you know, that thoughts can turn into deeds and actions. And so therefore, it's important to fix our thoughts on the right thing. He says this, you know, because he was finishing up this letter. And he said he had some final things, one final thing. You know, I done said a whole lot to you guys, but I got one final thing. And he went straight to their mind with this one final thing. I need to get inside your head with this one final thing. Because if I don't get you to change the way you're thinking with this one final thing, you're going to carry on in your ungodly thinking and your ungodly way of doing things. So Pastor just want to share with you one final thing that you need to hold on to if you're going to walk in holiness. One final. Somebody say one final thing. And that was to this church. I got another final thing, and to the other church you're going to say, but this is different right here. So don't, I saw, see, some of y'all thought, oh, he about to close. He going to be, see, I know you, I know you. Look what he said in verse 8 of Philippians chapter 4. He says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. Uh-oh. He says, you know, I hear the word people say now when they're talking to you and they see you all over the place and your mind look like it's going, they say, focus, focus. You know, you're talking to your kids now all over the place. Wait, focus now. Wait a minute. Let's fix your mind. See, you got to understand, your mind got the capacity to entertain a lot of stuff. And if you don't know how to filter out stuff and fix your mind on the right thing, your mind could take you some places you really don't want to. But he said one final thing. I need for you to fix your thoughts. And then he lists some things that we ought to fix our thoughts on. Because if we don't, we could be fixing our thought on just the opposite of what he's telling us to fix our thoughts on. So he says, fix your thoughts on what is true. Somebody say true. True. Things that are factually true. Statements from this word, of God's word, that's true. Not lies, not rumors, not embellishment, not insincere conversation with folk. You need to fix your mind on things that are. See, because that's important, because the devil is a, and he is the father of lies. So when you're fixing your mind on lies, then guess who's in charge of your? The father of those lies is what's messing with your mind. That's why the thoughts gonna come, but the Bible tell you, you gotta take captive every thought that comes against this word of God. So you can't stop the enemy from shooting thoughts in your head, but you can take that thought captive and bring it in subjection to the word. So he says now, fix your thoughts on what is true, not the lies. Then he says honorable. Think on things that are honorable, matters that are worthy of respect and dignified. There are some thoughts that's beneath your dignity. When you think of those things, you all say, man, that thought is beneath me. I'm a child of God. I'm trying to live holy. I should have never entertained that. Something on the inside of you got to tell you, hey, that's a bad thought. You need to deal with it and not meditate on that. You need to discard that. I know y'all ain't going to like this. I know it, but that's okay. It's in the Bible, so I'm going to just read it anyway. He said, you got to think on things that is honorable. Then things that are right. Things that meet God's standards. Things that's dealing with righteousness. Then things that are pure. You know, wholesome thoughts. Not thoughts that's contaminated and mixed up with stuff that the world put in your mind. You get thoughts from what you watch. Amen. That's why you need to regulate what you watch on television. Because if not, you'll get thoughts. The movies that you go. I know you're saying, man, I'm deeper than that. You ain't deeper than nothing. That thought going to get in your head. And if you're not careful, you'll be trying to imitate what you done saw. So we got to make sure that our thoughts are pure. The evil thoughts and the wicked thoughts will come. But man, when they come, we got to make sure that we know how to separate them from what God wants us to be thinking about. And that's why meditation is important, because it helps you to focus on things that's in this word and not things that's just in the world. Somebody said one final thing. He had a whole lot to say in this one final thing. So he's dealing with their mind. He wanted to think right. Then he says, think on things that's lovely. Thoughts that have great moral and spiritual beauty. Not evil and immoral thoughts. When you think about how you're going to get back at somebody, what you're going to say to somebody that don't line up with the word, you got to deal with that. Because if you don't deal with it while it's in the thought process, it's going to come out your... So it says you got to think on things that are lovely. Thoughts that promote peace rather than conflict. You know, that we can use a lot of that in this country right now. Folks are thinking on some crazy stuff right now in America. And look here, if you don't start getting your thoughts right and you start listening right for, you'll be thinking crazy too. We need to line our thinking up with the Bible, not what the news folks say. Amen. CNN, Fox, MSNBC, ABC, CBS shouldn't control your... Say you got to think on things that's admirable. You know, relates with what is positive and constructive, you know, and not negative. And look at this. He says, now once we do that and we think on things that's admirable, then he says, think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Can I stop right there just for a moment, Brother Moles? Now he says, think on things that's excellent, good, and worthy of praise. So, Brother Moles, if I had the ability to look inside your mind and see your thoughts, would I praise God for what you were thinking? Or would I say, oh my God, I didn't know he thought like that? So what he's telling us, we ought to think things that if someone saw into our conscious mind, they would admire us for what we are. See, that's the hard part of this, because we can't get in that. That's only you and the Holy Spirit got to deal with that. It'll be nice if I can get inside and see your conscious mind and see what you're thinking and really thinking, how you think about some folk. Yeah, yeah. But sometimes people can just say a name or word and you can look at your face and see what your mind knowing. Some of y'all can't hide what's on your face. Yeah. That's why, you know, you got to read the room. You got to look at folks' face, because the face reveals some things about folks. And now they're thinking lovely thoughts, then okay. But man, they're thinking some wicked stuff. You better look at their faces. Amen. You know, it ain't natural for folks to get ruffles in their forehead. Eyes get tight. You better say something going on in their head. I know y'all. So what we have to do is a self-evaluation and make sure that our thoughts are admirable, man. that if someone could open it up here and take a look inside, would they say, man, I'm admired with what's going through Pastor Bolden's mind. Because it's worthy of praise. Man, I just wish we could live this out right now and everybody could crack open my mind and say, ooh, that's worth dancing for right there. Myrna's thinking about some good thoughts right now. That's worthy of praise. That's worthy of stopping the service right now. Because Myrna got, oh, Lord. Myrna got a thought on her mind that's good and admirable. So you got to do this for yourself. You got to put you in check every now and then when your mind start thinking some things that don't go with this word. And say, I want my mind to be admired for what I. Most evil things that happen in the world start with in people's mind. And good things can start in people's mind. So now look what he says here. After he says our thoughts ought to be excellent and they ought to be worthy of praise, then he says, keep putting into practice. Somebody say, keep putting into practice. Keep putting into practice. See, you ain't going to get there by just thinking good one time. You got to keep putting this stuff that he just said you got to think on into. So when weird things start happening around you and to you in the world, your thoughts will already be lined up with God's word. And so therefore, everything that happened around you won't irritate you. So he says, keep putting into practice all you learn and receive from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Look here, I ain't Paul. I want y'all to watch Jesus, but there is a passage of scripture that you can imitate others as they imitate Christ. But I want y'all to watch Jesus. What you've learned about Jesus, those are the things you put into practice. Don't be just come a student of God's word and not a doer of God's word. Amen. The student got to do. Amen. Can I get an amen right there?
Amen.
All you're doing is say you agree. The student got to do the things that he or she learned. It does you no good to soak up all the truth of God's word and you never apply the truth to your life. When a situation come up in your life, you got to apply this truth. And that's why I say you got to practice this. This is something you got to do over and over and over. If you don't practice thinking the right way and doing the right thing, guess what? When situations come up, your flesh going to govern what you do. Because you're going to default back to your old nature. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then we say, then, when you do all that, then the God of peace will be with you. So now I could ask this serious question. Where is your peace level at? I mean, you are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, sitting up here on a Sunday morning and you perplexed. Then I would submit to you, what have you been thinking about? What got your peace so upset that you can't think that God can help you through whatever you're going? When you leave here, don't let the enemy rob you of your peace. I mean, I don't care what you listen to. When you leave here, don't let him steal your peace. You don't want to try to navigate your way through this world and never have peace of mind. And the enemy is flooding our minds with so much. I mean, there's so much out there. That's why you got to be strong-minded enough and gird your mind up for warfare. Because the battleground is your mind. And I know right now we're living in an information age with the internet and with everybody got influences out there. Everybody got a network now. They can just get on out there. But some of them guys are straight up crazy. And ladies, straight up crazy. And you on their list where you don't click the like button. And every week, every day they sending you their latest post and their latest update. You better start paying attention to who you don't like. Everybody that you want to like ain't likable in God's eyes. But if you're not listening carefully and processing with your mind the things they're telling you anything can sound true to you if you don't know the truth. That's why you need to know what the Bible say, not what other folk say. This is tough. I know holiness is tough, man. People don't like holy messages no more. That's why churches don't talk about holiness. You can go to church for 2 years. Ain't nobody going to talk about no holy. Holy don't sell. Holy don't keep folk in the seat. Nobody want to be challenged to live holy. We want to integrate into the world, so therefore we make the church look a lot more like the world than a holy place for God. We want to bring people in, so we got to make the church look like the world looks, so they'll come to the church thinking they still in though. Colossians chapter 3. In order to strive to display and practice personal holiness, we must intentionally put on the character of the new person. Somebody say new person. See, you're supposed to realize you are a new creation in Christ. Amen. You're not the same person that you were before you met him. So therefore, you have to on purpose put on the new person that God has called you to be. Paul was letting these believers know that they had been raised to new life in Christ, and they needed to be about the things of heaven and not the things of the earth. In other words, they need to be more spiritually minded than carnal minded. They needed to be reminded that although they were in the world, they were not of the world. And holiness requires you to get rid of some things as well as put on some things. Some things got to go, some things got to come in. Look at this. So y'all in Colossians chapter 3, verse 7 says, you used to do these things. He had been talking about sexual immorality right up above this. So we all used to do some things. Can I get an amen right there? I mean, before we met the Lord, we all did some things. Some things were good, some things were bad. You know, our mom and dad told us not to do certain things before we get married, but some of us went out there and did something. Mm-hmm. Some people tried to warn us, don't do that, don't hang out with that group, but we just went on and did something. But once you got saved, them things got to go. He said, now look, you used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world. You're no longer part of this world, in it but not of it. But now is the time. Somebody say, now is the time. I know y'all ain't gonna like this, but this is what he said. Now is the time to get rid. That means something's got to. As a child of God, he said, look, you got to get rid of anger. You got to get control of your emotion. Amen. You can't be walking around with a spirit of anger and you the new creation in Christ, because your anger would turn into rage. You can't walk around with that. You can't say I love the Lord and you bitter and you angry, because sooner or later you're going to blow up and somebody's going to be the recipient of your anger. You start off kicking car tires and putting your hand through walls, then you're going to start hitting on folk. You're going to get tired of butting your head up because you're mad. Beep, beep. Then now guess what? I go find another target. Yeah. Yeah. God. Time to get rid of anger, rage, malice. You know, when you deliberately want to hurt somebody, attempt to hurt somebody, it wasn't no accident. You know, malice starts in your heart. And so when malice gets in your heart, it can become malice behavior. Amen. Then slander. Stop destroying folks with your mouth. Amen. Then dirty. Now we don't start glorifying some words that and make it part of our natural vocabulary. Dirty language. You know, when I was a little boy, we was taught dirty language and learned in the neighborhood. So by the time I was 10 years old, I had a good vocabulary with dirty language. And that vocabulary stayed with me till I was about 30 years old. And I can use it in sentences, paragraphs, anywhere I want to use it. Talking to you, I could fit that dirty. I know y'all holy, y'all were there. Y'all didn't have that problem. That was my problem. My mouth, my dirty language was my problem. I love to cuss at folk. Things don't go right, you just pick a curse word to go with it. One of your team out there on your field, Moses, and the guy miss a tackle and miss an interception, you just curse him out. Don't even know him. Just start, you sorry. You know, you just. I mean, because it was in me. But once I understood that God didn't like dirty language, I had to get rid of dirty. It used to be a time our television program used to be rated so you couldn't show dirty language stuff to after 10, 11 o'clock at night when I was a little boy. You couldn't just get access to dirty anytime. Now you can get dirty in prime time. Amen. So you can turn after the 6 o'clock news come on, go off, the next show at 7 o'clock to have dirty. Real. When I was a little boy, we had to wait to midnight to get dirty. Now your kids getting dirty on their phone. Dirty. And once they hit dirty one time, the system or the algorithm in there know that they like dirty. So dirty gonna show up. Don't y'all sit here. Look, I use y'all kids to give y'all a break, but some of y'all getting dirty on your phone. Dirty language. And you know what was so hypocritical, Ben? I used to love to curse, but I used to hate to see women curse. So when I used to be at the softball game in the stands cursing and, you know, cheering and cursing at the same time, and if some woman behind me started cursing, I look at her and say, man, you got just a nasty mouth. I'm saying, God, I can't believe you. I can't believe you talk like that. You know what I mean? So it looked like Finley. It was okay for me to talk dirty, but I had enough respect for her that she got to live by a different standard. She can't curse like I curse. Well, now I understand cursing is equal opportunity all over the place. Everybody got dirty language now. And what we got to say is that because we're striving to live holy, dirty language got to. Amen. Here's another one that he said got to go. And this one is still running rampant all over the world, in the church and everywhere. He said, don't lie to each other. You know, I think sometimes we forget that lying is a sin. We justify lying. The situation dictated that I had to lie. But he said, don't lie to one another. You know, when you start lying to people, especially those of you who are married, when your husband and wife start lying to you, it messes up the trust factor. You can't trust folk who lie to you. And when you start not trusting your husband or your wife, it's just a matter of time before your marriage is going to be over. Matter of time. Because sooner or later now, when you stop trusting her or him, then the devil going to start planting all these thoughts in your head that's not lovely, that's not true. Oh, he got home late last night. It looked like I saw a little lipstick on his collar last night. And look, who was he with? Let me go check his phone. But if you trusted him, even if he got home at 1 o'clock in the morning, you know whatever kept him out that had nothing to do with being unfaithful to you. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off, somebody say stripped off, stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Before Jesus, man, we were wicked. Everybody was born and conceived in sin. You don't have to teach folk how to sin. They were born with sin in them. Your children know how to sin before they know how to know their ABCs. A. They know how to do things. You don't teach your children to throw sand in the sandbox. Some just come over them one day, and they all of a sudden going to pick up some sand and just throw it and hit somebody with the sand. You know, some of y'all got biters. You didn't teach biting 101. But all of a sudden, you get a note home, you know Johnny bit somebody. He bit somebody. Who taught him how to bite? The devil. It was in his nature. And you got to get it out of him by the way you live before. So look at verse 10. It says, put on the new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your creator and become more like him, or become like him. That's our end game. Now look what he says. In this new life, somebody say new life. It doesn't matter if you are Jew or Gentile. Your racial group or ethnicity or nationality has nothing to do with your relationship with Jesus. It don't matter what your religious practices are, if you're circumcised or uncircumcised. It don't even matter if you're barbaric or uncivilized. In other words, in this culture there, you know, if you was part of the Greek culture, they thought they was better than everybody else because they was well-learned. They had philosophers and all that. So they looked down on other folk as being kind of uncivilized, uncouth, and barbaric. But Jesus said he don't care. If you belong to him, he can give you some wisdom that can confound the world. So some folk may look down on you and call you uncivilized because you didn't get your PhD or you didn't get your BA and your BS and your MD and all that. All you got is your GED. Or no D at all. You saved now. You love the Lord now. Your education can come right from. This can make you wiser than some folks who got a PhD. So now he's saying that it don't matter whether you're slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. By his spirit, he's in us, and so therefore we are led by the spirit, then we will do things that line up with God's word. He said, now look, since God chose you, somebody say he chose me. Since God chose you to be holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy. In other words, now that you belong to God, you got to put on some mercy. You got to be merciful toward people. Amen. Kindness. You can't be rude all the time. Amen. You're a new creation now. You got on some new clothes. Amen. You got to take off that rude clothing and put on some kindness. Amen. It's sad to find unkind folk in the church. Amen. We ought to be the kindest people on earth. I know y'all don't want to hear it. I'm trying to work that spirit of, you know, unkindness, rudeness. It's just in me. My grandmama was like that. You better break that. Oh, your grandmama gone. You better break that. You just do the opposite of what grandmama did, and you can be kind. Amen. Wayne, he said we got to put on humility. That's hard for some folks because we don't know how to humble ourselves before God. Because we don't believe if we humble ourselves, he can exalt us. In due time. The world tells us, you know, you got to get to the top of the ladder any way you can. The end justify the mean. God say you got to humble yourself. And in due time, I would exalt you. So the world tell you, you step on people, lie on people, cheat on people, do whatever you got to do. At the end of the day, long as you stand at the top of the ladder, that's all that matters. That's a worldly way of thinking. God say, humble yourself. In due time, I will exalt. Then you got to put on gentleness and patience. I mean, sometimes you just got to put up with some folk. Long suffering, some Bible say. You married now. You got to put up with him. For the long haul. You can't all of a sudden find out you want a new model. Because they got some upgrades out there. No. You in for long suffering. They done got some upgrades out there now. I think I better trade the one I got. No. You're a new creation. You shouldn't even be thinking about upgrading. Where did that thought even come from? Now, Pastor Bolden ain't endorsing you married to a fool that beating you up and doing all that kind of thing. I ain't talking about that. He ain't beating you up. He just didn't speak when he came in this morning. I got up. He ain't speak. So now you all, no. Patience. Pray for him. Lord, bring him around. Because if I don't do that, my mind is going to start making me think a certain way about And I'm going to interpret his actions now differently than I used to, because my thinking has gotten polluted. I know y'all didn't want to hear that. But he said you got to put on patience. These are things that you got to put on. You strive for this holiness. Then he says, make allowances for each other's fault. In other words, your husband going to make some mistakes. Your wife going to make some mistakes. So you just put some money in the bank. So that when they make some mistakes, you can just already say, okay, I got some forgiveness over here stored up. I'm going to pull out $10 worth and forgive you for this crazy thing you did last night. If you are bankrupt in forgiveness, then when you get offended by anybody, you're going to become upset, angry, and then go off into a rage. So he says, make allowances for each other's fault and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive. And above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds all of us together in perfect harmony. You can't sing in harmony in a family where there's disagreement, where there's never any forgiveness. And what you want in your relationship with people, man, you want harmony, because harmony bring about peace. That's a music term. Harmony in music. When you got to mix all kinds of voices together and hope they can make one sound. God wants you to walk in harmony with people so that you can make one sound. So that you can act and look like he wants us to act as children. We ought to be in harmony when it comes to what God wants us to do to be holy. We shouldn't be in a disagreement because once I don't like this holy thing. No, we got to be in harmony. Yeah, yeah. We got to all agree. God wants us to be holy. Can we all agree on that? Amen. If y'all scared to say amen, just shake your head for me to let me know. Can we all agree? Amen. We in harmony. God wants us to be holy. Let me go back and read my text. I'm going to sit down, because I done read it several times for you in Peter. You know, I need to just put some context to it. Peter was writing this letter to encourage believers who had been dispersed and was facing trials and persecution under the Roman Emperor Nero. And they needed his encouraging words to continue to strive to live holy in the face of opposition. And he encouraged them not to slip back into their old ways of living to satisfy their own desires. See, if we're not careful, that old man is still inside of us. That old nature didn't die when we got saved. It just became an enemy now, because at first we was friends with it. But then now when we get saved, we get a new nature, and the old nature start a war with the new nature. And if you're not careful, your old nature is still on the inside of you, and every now and then it will show. See, when I gave up cursing, the old nature on the database still got every curse word that I ever said. And I still know them. I can start rattling them off right now in 3.0. Just rattling and add new versions of the same old curse word. But I have to say, that's my old nature. And my new nature, and I got to control that, because the old nature, that word, that. Can I just, you just abbreviate it? And I don't think I'm cursing. But the MF word, I mean, it could just roll. Just roll off. Don't y'all sit here and look at me like that. Some of y'all still letting it roll. It's on the database now, but I control it and don't let it just. And so he knew that they had to understand, if they weren't careful, the old nature would rear its head up and you would slip back into doing some thing that God has delivered you from. That's why I tell people, man, if you got a drinking problem, had a drinking problem, man, you can't even be around the smell of alcohol sometimes. God done delivered you now, so why you won't go over there and all you can smell is alcohol? If you're not careful, your old nature going to say, well, one little sip ain't going to hurt you. You done gave up the weed. You can't be walking around now because right now you're so sensitive. Everything you, I smell it. And then now they're on the verge of legalizing in your old nature. Okay. it's legal now. No, no, no. God don't want you using it unless you just got a medical reason, they say. It ain't for recreation, for you to get recreationally high. The Holy Spirit's supposed to help you with your recreational. You ought to be high in the Lord. Amen. You don't need nothing to alter your mind to get you. I know y'all didn't want to hear that. I know it. I knew it. That wasn't for you. That was for y'all friends. Because I know y'all friends. Y'all got some friends out there that still messing with that weed. And you need to let them know that they can be delivered. All right, let me go. So he was writing this, and I'm going to read this, and I'm done. I done had enough fun. I know y'all did, too. And I know, you know, the Lord's day is just about over. 11:26, it's just, I got 4 minutes for the Lord's day time. But let me just read it. He said, look, therefore, now you can understand what he was saying. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. It's the battleground. Get it strong. Be ready. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace, the favor that God has given you, that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We all have an expectation that the Savior is going to return. And when he returns, we want to make sure that we're going to be caught up with him. Amen. And we need to have that settled in our mind. Then he says, then we got to live as obedient children to God. And I told you last week, some of us who got multiple children, you got 5 or 6 of them, 2 or 3, 1 or 2, whatever. Some of them are a little bit more obedient than others. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got 5 kids. They ain't all the same. It'd be nice if they were all the same. They ain't the same. You know, some of them ain't the same. So now get what that means. That means some of us are a little bit more obedient to God, and there's some of us that still acting a fool every now. We still his child, but every now and then he need to correct some of us. Amen. That's still your baby. That's the fifth one you done had. That's still your baby. But right now, he just cutting the food. You got to correct him. And so every now and then when we forget that God wants us to live a certain way, we can do some things that require him to correct us because he loves us. So we want to be obedient children, not conforming. Don't be like water. Water conforms to whatever shape you put it in. You know, you put it in a glass, it'll turn a circle. You put it in a square, it'll turn square. Y'all got to make up your mind. You're going to either conform to the standards of God or you're going to conform to the standards of the world. You can't conform to any and everything that comes our way. So we can't conform ourselves to the former. Somebody say former. Former lust. As in your ignorance. In other words, all of you all got a former life. And don't sit here and try to act super holy right now because he's talking about former you. You ain't that person no more. Amen. Y'all say amen. You ain't that person no more. You're a new creation now. So the former you taught you some things now, and you ought to recognize what you was taught by the former you so you never go back to the former. Not conform yourselves to the former you as in your ignorance. You didn't know any better. But now you know better. And then this is where he takes his acknowledgement or example that he's trying to give them, and he used scripture to support what he's trying to get them to see. He wasn't just talking off the top of his head. He said, hey, this is written somewhere. Everything I'm saying here, we got to be able to go find it somewhere. Where, and because it's written somewhere, and we call this the Holy Bible, then we got to believe that if we follow it, we will at least live. But as he who called you is what? You also be in what? All your conduct. Why? Because it is, be holy, for I am holy. Case closed. Don't think about it. On that one, you don't even have to meditate on it. Just be it. Nike got us thinking we can just do it. They put the little switch there and say, just do it, and you all of a sudden you think you can duck. And God said, just do it and be holy. And I said, I don't know how I can do that. Yes, you can. Amen. He would not put something on you that's beyond your capacity. Amen. If he commanded you to do it, he knows that you have the means to be holy. Amen? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.